Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Last week's show was about dreams and goals and the difference in what is a dream and what is a goal. Today we're talking about escaping the state of waking dreams. We can't fight it. Hiding from it only makes it worse. The problem is that it will always be there when we come out, and problems with procrastination upon us often get worse. Everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth. Reality is an issue that people tend to get very emotional about. The problem is that reality is nothing more than truth. And as Balthasar Gracian, the insightful and pragmatic 17th century Jesuit priest, cautioned, truth is self-abhorred by the masses. Instead, they try to make true that which they love, a self-delusive practice that virtually guarantees frustration and failure. Unfortunately, most people live in an unreal world. They create a world in their own minds based on the way they would like it to be rather than the way they actually is. They seem to have adopted the philosophy of Ashley Brilliant, who once remarked, I have abandoned the search for truth and now looking for a good fantasy. It is absolutely essential that a person intellectually and emotionally understands that reality isn't the way it wishes things to be, or the way that appear to be, but the way that they actually are. The person who is not able to make this distinction finds it virtually impossible to make decisions that lead to a positive result. Which brings me to principles. A principle isn't synonymous with the law of nature as opposed to the law of man. Most man-made laws are nothing more than legalized aggression against the sovereignty of peaceful individuals and rarely bear any relationship to natural law, reality, and morality. A true principle of nature cannot be created by change in any way. Take principle of gravity, for example. Isaac Newton did not wake up one morning and decide to create the principle by which he dropped an apple from a tree 20 times, it would fall to the ground 19 times and rise upward the 20th time. Instead, through experimentation, he found that if you drop an apple from a tree 20 times, it will fall to the ground 20 times. What he did was discover the principle or law of gravity. A principle, then, is the essence of reality. To try to create our own reality is both futile and destructive. You certainly have the right to go on believing whatever you wish to believe. But reality doesn't care about your beliefs. Reality will deliver negative consequences to the well-meaning, ignorant individual, and surely as it will to the malevolent, stubborn person. No one has reality excuse anyone for good motives. So consistency is essential when it comes to a proper perception of reality. In physics, we learn that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. The longer I live, however, the more convinced I am that in daily process of living, as opposed to the science of physics, reactions tend to be far greater than the actions that provide them. In other words, whenever we do the wrong thing, the punishment seems to be way out of proportion to the crime. My experience has been that I almost always end up paying for the irresponsible action over and over again, with each payment seeming to take the form of a balloon note, carrying honest compounded interest. The consequence may take a long time, and it may be indirect or subtle in nature, but there is always a consequence. Symbiotically speaking, everything you do goes into your book of life. This doesn't necessarily hold a religious connotation, but I do firmly believe the universal forces are at work that pull us inexorably towards the deserving results of our actions. Kindness begets kindness. Cruelty begets cruelty. Where many people allow themselves to be misled is that the payback for their actions is not always imminent, which results in their failing to make the connection when it finally arrives, or even when the consequence is prompt. They may miss the subtlety of the connection between the result and some action they have taken. But most people know, deep down, inside, and all actions that have consequences, I'm convinced that a few of them give it more than a passing thought. As they go about their daily affairs, the question is, why would people ignore such an all-powerful, immutable principle? I believe that man inhabits a world of illusions which obscures reality and creates danger for himself or others. He rarely understands that he is doing or why he is doing it. His actions and beliefs indicate that he lives in a state of waking dreams. I further believe that one of the most important steps in a person's personal growth is to become adept at transcending his world of delusion. This is not an easy task, due in no small part to the fact we are surrounded by delusion each and every day. The nice thing about it, however, is that you can overcome these delusions provided you are committed to the truth. That means being willing to subordinate your desires and wishes, your dreams, as it were, to reality. This is not to say that you should not have dreams. On the contrary, dreams are important. But it does mean, however, is that you should not allow your dreams and desires to overcome reality. In other words, your love of truth must be greater than the desire to make your dreams come true. The more often and more quickly you are able to recognize truth in your daily life, the more likely it is that you will become part of the small minority of the human race that does not live in the state of waking dreams. The challenge is to learn to correctly perceive reality, because when you consistently perceive reality accurately, delusions begin to disappear. And as delusions vanish from your life, you are able to deal effectively with the problem on a more rational basis, which in turn leads to success in all areas of your life. And what I would like to do with this is equate it this way. Your dreams are things that you want to happen, and you can turn them into reality. Or your dreams can be something that you perceive, but you don't work towards. And if you don't work towards, guess what? It does remain a dream. So do you want to live in reality, or do you want to live in a dream world? And the fact of the matter is, we need to learn to live within reality, because the reality is where we can live our life to the fullest. And let me explain to you something, and let me go back and tell you a little bit about my story. I grew up in an era when society did not even recognize its disability community. And I had a family who took on that same attitude. And what I have is cerebral palsy. It's a neuro muscular disability. It affects how the brain processes information. It affects your muscles mostly. And luckily for me, my disability was not that severe because it really just affected one side of my body. But for me, the reality is that I had to learn to live with it and adapt to it and do what I could with what I was capable of doing. In my family's reality, it was, oh, this poor, helpless person, she can't do anything for herself, she can't take care of herself, she's going to always have to be taken care of. And that's where the conflict happened in the family. And, you know, you have to learn to accept each other's limitations, how to adapt to it, how to live with it. And if you accept each other, then you can live your life within the reality or the realm of those situations and live your life to the fullest and enjoy your life. So it's a matter of how are you going to live it, how are you going to take control of it, and what are you going to do that is going to make your life be what it is that you truly want it to be. And, you know, the sad part is that so many times for so many people, what it is they let other people dictate to them how they should live their life. So they tend to live based on someone else's dreams rather than living it to the fullest of what is their own reality. So, and you know, as a child, you can't help that because a child doesn't have the reality or the understanding or the brain process to really adapt to living within society. And if you think about it, children are so in so many ways naive that they're so, that when they say things, that those things tend to be the truth. It's as you grow up and as you learn to adapt to what society tells you is right that you tend to not know how to live in reality and live it to the fullest. So what we want to do is talk to you about things that we can do that can help you change your reality and live it to the fullest and make it truly what you want it to be. And, you know, a lot of the things that we need to do is we need to look at how we fully are going to live life in today's reality. And let's look at it. And let's go back and let's equate it with employment because the reality is that, you know, you can dream about getting a job with a company, and you can dream about moving up within the company to become one of the vice presidents or one of the presidents or whatever. But the reality is that those jobs just don't exist today. So if those jobs don't exist, what are you going to do to adapt to it? And the reality is that, guess what? We have moved into or gone back to what it was back 100 years ago when it came to employment. And let me tell you a story that I think is very relevant today than it was back then. When the Europeans first came to this country, many of them brought with them the skills that they had. For instance, many of them, they lived in small villages. So what did they do? They didn't have the means to go on a street corner and sell their products, but they would take their wares, put it on a push bus, and go from home to home. And when they came to America, what they did was they took those same skills. And what they did was they found the push bus. They were able to put them on street corners and have people come to them rather than them having to go to each person's home. And I remember my father talking about how his father used to sell fruit from a stand on the street corners in Savannah, where I grew up. And on my mother's side of the family, my grandfather, actually, when he came to this country, he came with his family, and they had a small general store in Savannah that what they did was it was a community grocery store. And my grandfather, they originally came from Russia, which was a very cold climate. And Savannah, Georgia is in the south, where during the summer it gets very hot and humid. And my grandfather could not take the weather. So what he did was he went back to Russia. And then when he came back the second time, he settled in New York City with my grandmother. And they proceeded to have 10 children. And my mother, as an adult, went to visit, went to Florida with some friends, stopped off in Savannah just to visit her aunts and uncles, went with her aunt and uncle to a wedding. At that same wedding, my father was there with his friends. That's where they met. 2 years ago, at my mother's funeral, the rabbi who officiated at her funeral, it was his aunt and uncle whose wedding my parents met at. So you can tell it was a small community. And when you think about it, who would have dreamt that that would become reality? But that is reality, especially in a small community. And the reason I'm telling this is that my mother's uncle, when they came to this country, he worked as a janitor in the building. And then what he did was he went to work for the steel mill. And because the owner could not pay him a salary, he was willing to work for free until the owner was able to pay him. So in essence, back then, the employee was loyal to the owner, and the owner was loyal to the employee. And that was the reality of those times, of what was going on. The thing is that the first generation of children born in this country, they were born during the time of World War II, when many of them went to serve their country. And when they came home, many of them went to work for the corporation and worked their way up within the company into management, got their 25-year retirement, and then was supposed to live comfortably on Social Security. And we can see now what is the reality of what is happening with Social Security, because the government has not really done what it needed to do to take care of your money. They basically misappropriated it, misused it, and a lot of graft has gone on in the government, which affects many of us. And guess what? The baby boomer generation, the second generation born in this country, many of them, what happened was that as they started into the job market, they went into the corporations expecting to work there for life, because it was an unwritten rule at that time that when you worked for a company, you worked your way up. Well, guess what? After 15, 20 years, a lot of those things changed. So that today there is no guaranteed job. So Generation X, Generation X, and the millennials, none of them have a guaranteed job. The difference is that with the millennials were born around after 1980. And why they're called the millennials? Because many of them entered the job market right around the turn of the century. And guess what? They grew up with the access and the knowledge of the use of computers, the use of the technology that we use today. And so many of them were able to adapt to the new workplace. And the reason I'm telling the story is, guess what? We've come full circle back to where we were back at the beginning of the 20th century, only whereas many of them didn't have the technology that they had, that we have today. They sold their wares on street corners. Today, you can go on the internet and you can sell your wares through websites or storefronts that people go to. Even brick and mortar stores today have to have a website, and corporations have websites where people come and buy their wares. So many of the malls, many of the strip malls, many of those things are going to be going by the wayside and more, you're seeing people work from home. And guess what? The reality is that there's such a thing as jobs that where you're working for someone as an affiliate or a distributor, because they're all new companies starting every day. They are just not going the way of the brick and mortar store. And why? Simple reason: overhead. For instance, when I do this as I do this radio show as part of what I do as a professional speaker and trainer. And I can tell you, I attended Toastmasters, I attended the Georgia Speakers Association, and I learned the technique of marketing through them. And back then, when I started, how do you set up a media kit was you had to go present somewhere. You had to hire someone to come and videotape your programs. You had to be able to do the things, and then you had to put that press package together and do mailings. So it was money up front before you even earned a dime. The difference is with the technology of the Internet, I can do this radio show. If someone wants to understand my topics and what I talk about, I can send them to my web address and tell them, if you want to, you can go listen to my radio show, and you will learn how I present myself, what I do, whatever. Not only that, years ago, companies paid speakers to come, and they would put them up at hotels. They would pay for a lot of things. Today, you can work with a speaker, and guess what? They're with me. It can all be done remotely. And let me even tell you how even the Internet, how business has changed. For the longest time, it was you did a teleseminar where you would go and you would do a presentation and you would have a PowerPoint, but no one saw the PowerPoint but it gave you a reference of something to work with while you did your presentation. But today, and then it went to GoToWebinar or things where you can actually show your PowerPoint while you're speaking in the background. Now it's gone to video, and you have Google Hangouts where you can actually present things, and it's not only a Google Hangout on Google, but it's united to YouTube so that you can get enough press and go virally. Just look at some of the entertainers and how they got started. Look at Justin Bieber. What happened was he did a video on YouTube. Usher happened to see it. He liked what he saw, and guess what? She contacted him, and the rest is just don't know how easy it is or how powerful it is today to take this technology and harness it. And for me, being someone with a disability that did not have the money to go out and market myself, didn't have the family support systems where they believed in me and my ability, and was constantly telling me, you're helpless and you're worthless. I could even have accepted what they told me, or I could have chosen a different road. And guess what? I chose the different road. So either I could have lived their dream for me, or I could have made reality for myself. And I chose reality. So what the purpose of this story, the point of it is, you have to decide what is your reality and what you're going to do to make it happen for yourself. And let me go back and reiterate some things for you. Reality is an issue that people tend to get very emotional about. The problem is that reality is nothing more than truth. And as Balthazar Gracian, the insightful and pragmatic 17th century Jesuit priest, cautioned, truth is abhorred by the masses. Instead, they try to make true that which they love. A self-delusive practice of virtually guarantees frustration and failure. So the idea is, what are you going to do to make that your reality? And how are you going to live in the real world and make the right choices for yourself? It is absolutely essential that a person intellectually and emotionally understands the reality isn't the way he wishes things to be or the way they appear to be, but the way they actually are. The person who is not able to make this distinction finds it virtually impossible to make decisions that lead to positive results. So the idea is, what are you going to do? What choices are you going to make that's going to help you live in the real world and make things happen for yourself in a way that is truly a reality and living your life in what is really a reality? Because guess what? You know what? You can go and you can watch a soap opera, and they are given some lines to say. And I'm not a big soap opera fan, but I do know that from the one that I've watched and from the couple that they're always creating acts in the story because that's what drives the story. And, you know, you have to look at things with, are you going to do what is real for you, or are you going to do what is real for someone else? And what is your reality? Because you know what? Only you can live and choose what is the real world for you. And you know what? It is your choice to make. And you have to make that decision on how you are going to live your life to the fullest. And the last thing I would like to say is that a true principle of nature cannot be created or changed in any way. Take the principle of gravity, for example. Isaac Newton did not wake up one morning and decide to create a principle whereby he dropped an apple from a tree 20 times. Reality will deliver negative consequences to the well-meaning, ignorant individual as surely as it will to the malevolent, stubborn person. Not once does reality excuse anyone for good motives, so consistently is essential when it comes to the proper perception of reality. So guess what? How are you going to live your reality and make it a true reality? And let's think about it. What is a dream? A dream is something that you want to happen. How do you make a dream become reality? You set those goals and you write down a strategy on how you're going to reach those goals. And then you make that dream a reality. And reality is, what is the truth? And, you know, people can base their reality on things were in the past, like expecting to go to work for a company and working their way up within the company that does not exist anymore, or guess what? They can make the choice to change and adapt to what is reality today and how to make it the fullest and live the best quality of life possible within their means. And being someone with a disability, I had so many obstacles to overcome. But I chose to make those obstacles, to overcome those obstacles to the best of my ability. And I would like to remind you, you can go to my website, and that website is the number one, personalcareercoach.com. And we offer both individual and group coaching. And what we will do with you is we will sit down with you and we will help you decide what is your goal and how you are going to reach that goal, and then help you put together a strategy and then keep you accountable to help you reach that goal in your life. And once you're able to do that, then you know what? You will truly live the best quality of life possible within the means of what you are able to do. Okay, so I should be able to. I'm going to have to do this when I come back. That's it. And all the time I need to get out and go. I'm telling you, Jason Thompson, this guy is straight. I guarantee you. He's turning 37. Do you not think he could have been married at least 10 years by now? I mean, he's worked with women all from the time he was 18 years old. He's so modeling. Do you not think that he was working with women then? I mean, do you not think this guy doesn't know what the hell is going on? Don't believe that he and his plumb are really a couple. I think she's a friend. And for publicity reasons, they're doing things together, but I think it's the only reason. And I think she does stay with him in his place every day as a friend. They're not a couple where they're living together. I don't see them as a couple. I see them as friends, but not as a couple.